and Why Times, Life in America is Staggeringly Shorter. By Neil Munro on October 4, 2023. Discarded Americans are dying at younger ages while the federal government fills jobs with young and healthy migrants, according to data provided by the New York Times. The America of those without college degrees has been scarred by death in staggeringly shorter lifespans, said the October 3 op-ed by Princeton professors Anne Case and Angus Steeton. Related video, NYC hospital official: dealing with migrant surge, hardest work that I've ever done. The two economists are the authors of a 2021 book, titled Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism. Their op-ed said, almost two-thirds of American adults do not have college degrees, and they have become increasingly excluded from good jobs, political power and social esteem. As their lives and livelihoods are threatened, their longevity declines. In the 1970s, American life expectancy grew by about 4 months each year. By the 1980s, it was similar to life expectancy in other rich countries. Since then, other countries have continued to progress, with lifespans increasing by more than 2.5 months a year. But the United States has slowly, gradually and then precipitously fallen behind. The two authors also provided charts that show the four-decade decline of U.S. lifespans, the orange color, compared to steadily rising lifespans of people in Japan, Portugal, and many other countries. View graph here. The authors offer many subsidiary reasons for the shorter lifespans: tobacco consumption, gun rights, pollution, and vaccination politics. Those problems are much worse for blue collars, so they have had a far steeper loss than white collar, college-educated Americans. However, the two academics also hint that government-delivered migration is a cause of the massive loss of life among Americans. The government's post-1990 migration policy has displaced millions of Americans by importing young migrants who allow employers to hold down wages, raise rents, minimize investment in labor-saving machinery, and then spike stock values for older and wealthier investors. That displacement by migration argument is publicly disdained in the establishment media and academia. But many establishment people, including the author's Princeton peers, quietly celebrate the expanding role of migrants. The two authors suggest they see the damage caused by migration. Related video, Texas Guardsman, DPS vanish as migrants breach razor wire on border. For example, the authors say the lives lost are among the people who are increasingly excluded from good jobs, political power, and social esteem. That is also a shorthand description of what happens when employers shift their attention, hiring, and respect toward immigrants. The authors also say Americans recover during labor shortages. Less well-educated Americans have been doing better in a tight labor market. But they dare not mention President Donald Trump's cuts to migration in 2019 that helped create a labor shortage. If politicians do want to reduce the deaths of despair, a tight labor market is a necessary condition, and we have to be willing to let wages rise, agreed Stephen Camerata, the research chief at the Center for Immigration Studies. But, he added, again and again, we hear, from business, that we don't want wages to rise. They really don't want wages to rise, and they're using inflation now as a justification. But even a 20% increase in blue-collar wages could only cause a 5% increase in inflation, so the less educated cannot drive inflation. The minimal impact on inflation could be offset by reduced profits or the diversion of profits into automation and productivity, Camerata added. There are 44 million working-age people aged 16 to 64, who are not in the labor force, Camerata said. Obviously, we're not getting all of them into the labor force. You're not going to get non-college men back to a labor force participation of 1964, 88%. Or even 2,080%. But it does seem reasonable that we could get today's rate of 71% back to the level of, say, 2000. And if we did that, it would add 6 million more people to the labor force. The positive impact of increasing the labor force participation rate, particularly for the non-college educated men, would likely reduce drug use and alcohol abuse and obesity and mental health and social isolation, as well as being good for taxpayers because these men aren't productive. So improving our labor force participation rate is absolutely vital. Watch, current Texas migrant surge exceeds numbers from 2021 Haitian crisis in Del Rio. Immigration economics. There's plenty of evidence that migration hurts Americans, both blue-collar and white-collar. For example, pro-migration lobbyists have long denied that migration reduces wages. But in 2022, they began to argue that migration does cut wages and so should be used as a tool against inflation. In May 2022, Breitbart News reported, President Joe Biden should cut roughly $100 billion from Americans' wages in 1 year by importing 2.5 million extra foreign workers, says Wall Street's leading investment firm, Goldman Sachs. After President Donald Trump's migration cuts, the substantial gap between the number of workers and the number of jobs has led to wage growth of 5.5% over the last year, the firm complained on May 23. Still, there are reasons to believe some liberalization of immigration policies could be politically beneficial. Inflation ranks as a higher priority than immigration among voters of all parties, with the greatest difference among Democrats. The promise of cheap migrants also reduces employers' incentives to invest in the expensive machinery that allows Americans to get more work done each day. In contrast, investment in labor-saving machinery rose when President Donald Trump trimmed migration and inadvertently burst the cheap labor bubble created by the 1990 immigration expansion law. Biden's massive migration wave spiked housing prices and homelessness. Breitbart News reported, the rate of homelessness has risen about 6% nationally in the U.S. since 2017, according to the National Alliance to End Homelessness. In 2023, the problem grew at a faster rate. Data reviewed and published by the Wall Street Journal in August shows that more than 577,000 Americans are homeless today, representing an 11% increase compared to the same time last year, an alarming pace. The article noted that the increase would represent by far the biggest recorded increase since the government started tracking comparable numbers in 2007. Politicians also pay more attention to migrants and their employers than to the needs of ordinary Americans. In November 2022, Senator Chuck Schumer, DNY, touted migrants over U.S. families, saying, now, more than ever, we're short of workers, we have a population that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the dreamers, illegals who were brought in by their parents, get a path to citizenship for all 11 million, or however many undocumented there are here, emphasis added. Progressives also ally with investor-funded advocacy pro-migration groups that push the cheap labor migration that they hope it will reduce public support for tax and spend policies. For example, a Washington Post progressive touted the Cato Institute as he argued that Democrats should resist any cuts to migration to war spending in the Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine. Business does not have the incentive to fix the depths of despair problem, said Camerata. None of that is something he can worry about, right? He's got to his restaurant or construction business, or tree trimming business, lawn cutting business, the list goes on and on. So he's using immigrant labor, and when he can't find enough people at the wage he'd like to offer, he wants more integration. He added. Tragically, the decline in labor force participation and all the pathologies associated with it are simply not on the radar of Congress. They're listening to the business owners telling them they need more foreign workers. Extraction migration. The federal government has long operated an unpopular economic policy of extraction migration. This colonialism-like policy extracts vast amounts of human resources from needy countries, reduces beneficial trade, and uses the imported workers, renters, and consumers to grow Wall Street and the economy. The migrant inflow has successfully forced down Americans' wages and also boosted rents and housing prices. The inflow has also pushed many native-born Americans out of careers in a wide variety of business sectors and contributed to the rising death rate of poor Americans. The lethal policy also sucks jobs and wealth from heartland states by subsidizing coastal investors with a flood of low-wage workers, high-occupancy renters, and government-aided consumers. The population inflow also reduces the political clout of native-born Americans, because the population replacement allows elites and the establishment to divorce themselves from the needs and interests of ordinary Americans. In many speeches, Border Chief Alejandro Mayorkas says he is building a mass migration system to deliver workers to wealthy employers and investors and equity to poor foreigners. The nation's border laws are subordinate to elite opinion about the values of our country, Mayorkas claims. Migration, and especially labor migration, is unpopular among swing voters. A 54% majority of Americans say Biden is allowing a southern border invasion. According to an August 2022 poll commissioned by the left-of-center National Public Radio, NPR, the 54% invasion majority included 76% of Republicans, 46% of independents, and even 40% of Democrats.